Evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Let's pray. Now, God, we thank you for what we've just witnessed as we hear from your word and reflect on what it might mean for us. We would pray that you encourage us. We need encouragement. And you also motivate us and send us out into the world just as Jesus has here commanded. So we look to you, our God, in expectation for what you might have to say to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a question Aussies love to ask and I find very difficult to answer. What do you do? You go to a party, it's like, never met this person before. Hi, my name's Jason. What do you do? And the reason why I find it difficult, and everyone else probably finds it easy, is for me, it's a real social challenge. What do you do? I'm a pastor. It feels like that's where the conversation will end. A pastor. Sometimes they don't even know what a pastor is. So when I go and say, "Oh, I'm a minister," they think I'm a politician, which is probably worse. But I feel like nobody wants a pastor at their party. And then they'll be like, what do you pastors do? Oh, clearly we only work one day a week and then for a few hours a day on that day. So, you know, no one wants to talk to a pastor. It's hard to capture what a pastor does. And so I've been looking for an alternative answer to this question. And I don't know if any of you knew Winky Pratney, you know Winky Pratney, but he was an evangelist but when I was a lad. And he gave a great answer. And then I heard another guy, Jay Johns, elaborate what I think will be probably become my alternative. What do you do? I work for a global enterprise. We've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. We run hospitals, hospices, we do marriage work, we've got feeding programs, we have disaster recovery programs, prisoner programs, we work with the lost, the lonely and the unloved. We have schools, we have educational programs for vulnerable children. Basically, we look after people from birth to death and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. That sounds like a pretty good organization, doesn't it? What would you call that organization? I'd call that the church. It is incredible to think of the contribution of the church as a global phenomenon. It has changed the world through history and through effort and sacrifice. It has changed the world for the better. And all this good, and I have done just a tip of the iceberg of the daily good that the church brings into the world, has the driving force of one man behind it. Jesus. Sociologists, historians, they'd agree that Jesus was one of the greatest influences in human history. Yet, he's a fairly unlikely world changer, isn't he? He had a small band of motley crew that we call disciples. He never wrote a book. He didn't have a social media account. He didn't start a political movement. He didn't travel the world with his message. He didn't even travel more than, say, 300 square kilometres in his lifetime. Yet it could be suggested he's had more impact on the world than any other person. So how does the achievement of Jesus from first century Palestine go on to affect all other times and places? How does that message spread out to people of all nations who aren't thinking about the kingdom of God. They're not looking for a Messiah, a rescuer. They don't know anything of the religion of Israel. How does this message go from a Jew, an obscure, crucified Jew at that, out to the world? As the Father has sent me, Jesus says to his followers, his small, motley band of followers, so I am sending you. This is after his resurrection. You would think hearing of Jesus' resurrection would put some confidence and hope in the disciples' hearts, but actually no, we heard already that they were locked in a room for fear of the Jewish leaders. What had happened to Jesus, they were afraid might happen to them. These weren't brave, heroic, Joshua-type people. These were scaredy cats. And to these scaredy cats, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. His death and resurrection is Jesus, it's the climax of everything he's done. There he defeats death. There he brings into the world resurrection life. There he offers to the world forgiveness. And these small, afraid followers are to carry what Jesus has done to the world. And he doesn't suggest it. Here's an idea, gentlemen. He commands it. And this is a job that they're not looking for, and they probably never dreamed of taking up. Especially when Jesus says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Imagine that kind of weight put on the shoulders of the followers of Jesus. That we are to carry the message of forgiveness. And to those who believe, we can affirm that they are forgiven. And to the ones who don't, we need to warn them that they are not. And we need to do that not because we don't like people, but because their real problem is they're not right with God. And if they want real life, they need real forgiveness with God first. That's why Jesus came, and that's what his followers are meant to do, is to go out into the world and carry that kind of work. So it's no wonder if anyone was paying attention to that weight of responsibility, especially when you're locked in a room afraid of Jewish leaders, no wonder you're going to need the Holy Spirit. As he breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. This task is too big for us. It's impossible to be sent like Jesus is sent at any level, to do it by yourself in your own power. But that's not what Jesus gives them. He gives them a command. He gives them the power and the presence that he has through his Holy Spirit. And he says, go. I send you as the Father has sent me. And those people go. They go. They go from Jerusalem to Judea, the area around Jerusalem, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In our growth group on Thursday night, Calvin quoted, I forgot to get who it is. Yeah, thank you. This is an unattributed quote. But yeah, Calvin quoted this, and I thought this captures what I've just said so amazingly. Something very big happens in Mark chapter 3. Jesus appoints his 12 apostles. Why is that so big? Because these 12 and all those who followed will be the difference between Jesus as a lone hero who changed his world for 3 years and Jesus as the driving force who changed the course of history, who moved nations, fought racism, established equality as a human right, outlawed slavery, started orphanages, rescued and rebuilt after disasters, founded universities, built hospitals, rehabilitated drug addicts, fed the hungry, and cared for the last and the least from the biggest cities to the remote reaches of the planet. Now, if you don't believe Jesus did all that, I would challenge you. Ask the people who did those things to tell you why they did it. If you could ask, and you covered the globe and searched through history, you would hear many answers to be sure. But I guarantee you will hear one name far more than any other. Jesus. The Christian life has never been about you and your happiness. Though, of course, following Jesus brings real blessing, real joy and real peace, and what he says, an abundant life. But it's never been about you. It's always been about being sent as Jesus was sent into the world. Jesus is our driving force. He's the first sent one. All this forgiveness we offer and this life and joy and peace, it doesn't come from us. All these ideas that we present to the world that change the mindset of the world for the better, they don't come from us. It comes from Jesus. He's the driving force. It's his light, his life, his truth, his way that we carry into the world. That's what the life of following Jesus is meant to look like. That you are sent as he was sent. It lifts our vision, I suggest, on what it means to follow Jesus. It turns it from a self-therapy project, feeling better about myself, to an adventure that, because of the work of Jesus, changes the world that we're living in. Most of us will be forgotten. But the work that God does through us lays foundations for a kingdom that only he can build. A country only he can bring people to. And we're meant to be part of that. And it lists the vision of what it means to be the church. Today we started with reconciliation, a recognition of reconciliation. Some of us would say, how is that part of the agenda of the church? Certainly when the first task is proclaiming forgiveness to the world. Well, it's part of the agenda for the church because we are in the world as Christ is in the world. I'm not exaggerating it. You know that I've grown up with Aboriginal people. You know that I've been involved for pretty much my whole life in this challenge of reconciling and healing in our own nation. And I would not exaggerate this. The only hope I see is the church. Pastor Don Hayward, Pastor Clyde Rigney, the elders of the Aboriginal Berean Church, the Christian leaders across the nation, the only hope we all see is in the good news of Jesus and the church. The church. Why the church? Look across the aisle. Do you see stranger? Maybe. But you also see sister and brother. We have visitors here today. Some of you may not have ever met them before. But because of the work of Jesus, you now look at them as a sister in Christ, a brother in Christ. You are family first. You're not Ghana, you're not Scottish, you're not Aussie. You're not black, you're not white, you're not purple. You are the family of God first. If you want to shift the narrative of what it means to be Australians together, to forgive one another, we actually need the church, not just the good news of Jesus. It's been true right across the world in all of time and history. You heard it in the words that we read while we're down there. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. From the very get-go, it's already started to change the way people looked at each other. Jew nor Greek. There's no culture that is above Jesus here. Slave nor free, there's no place in life. And slave or free is a big difference. Male nor female, gender is not the most important definition of who you are. It is that you belong to Christ first. And it changes what it means when we think about all this, what it means for us to be sent into the world as Jesus was sent. Well, I would suggest it lifts our vision of what it means for Jesus to change the world. He will change the world and has done so through followers who are brave enough to go. Brave enough to go. In the face of Jewish leaders that they feared, a Roman power that they saw that could kill people, they went. And on it goes. So here's my encouragement. Live these words. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let me pray. Our God, we live in a time where, in Australia at least, the church has a bad name. And it's earned that in many ways because of grievous things that have happened. But what we would say of that is not the church that is of you. If the world is upset, you have judged this before they judged it. And the accounting that will happen to the folk that have hurt and harmed people over in the name of the church will not be before a world court. It'll be before a heavenly court. And they ought to fear that even more so. The church that you would put your name to is this church, the one that you send, the one that doesn't have a brand name over the top of it, that the greatest claim on each and every person's life and in the community's life is that we are sent by our Lord Jesus. And as those people have gone into the world, there's been uncountable acts of goodness. And Lord, we live in a better world. I fiercely believe this. We live in a better world because of that one name, Jesus, and because people have gone, have been sent. So I pray, our God, I pray for our sister and our brothers who've got baptized today, that they may accept your command and go. And then I pray for those of us who wane in this, that you would stir our hearts, that we would be sent ones into your world, and that we'll start to see even more of a difference made for the least, the last, and the lonely, and for society at large, as we live out that prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.